The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Although the presidential election is over, government parties are still feeling the fallout of their loss, with Fianna Fáil attempting to quell a confidence motion against Micheál Martin and Sean Kelly accusing Fine Gael of shafting him. What's next for the government parties after this defeat? Sean Defoe, News Talk political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast, is with me now. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Pat.
We're not surprised that there should be some recriminations after the emphatic victory by Catherine Connolly.
Yeah, Storm Connolly left a fair wake over the country in her, frankly, confounding win on Saturday in terms of the sheer scale of it. And that has left the political parties really trying to pick up the wreckage afterwards. I mean, Micheál Martin under a massive amount of pressure. He was already under pressure and had seemed to have seen that off to a degree with the stormy parliamentary party meeting that they had a couple of weeks ago, but also Simon Harris as well under question for the relative underperformance of Heather Humphreys. So which one do you want to start with? Which leader will we go for?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was talking to John Lahart, who's the TD for Dublin South West, during our programme from Dublin Castle on Saturday evening, and I think it's worthwhile listening to what he had to say about Micheál Martin.
Look, there's huge affection in Fianna Fáil for Micheál Martin. I don't think anybody would argue the fact that everything he does is in the party's interests. He stood by the party and stayed when others left the scene in difficult times in 2011. But the party can't afford the kind of errors that were made in the selection process here. I think when he was, you know, it would have been quoted that in the era that we live in, that Jim Gavin was the kind of candidate that we needed. People like me, who would have warmly welcomed the candidacy of Billy Kelleher, took the recommendation of Jim Gavin on good faith. And like, Jim Gavin is an iconic figure, and I no doubt in the short to medium term, you know, will retain his status as an heroic figure in Dublin. So really what I'm saying is that a lot of this went on the judgment, a trust in the judgment of what the leader was saying, what the leader was recommending. And there was just that's a really significant error of judgment. And a professional party like Fianna Fáil can't afford errors of judgment like that.
Okay, a professional party like Fianna Fáil cannot afford errors of judgment like that. How big is the rump that might want to remove him?
It's certainly significant, and from what we understand, it's at least 10 signatures of the 12 that they would need to have a heave against him and a motion of confidence within the rank of the TDs of Fianna Fáil. And a lot of people would feel similar to what John Lahart has said. I mean, John isn't exactly a maverick TD. You know, he's quite a measured and considered person from watching him on committees down throughout the years. And Micheál Martin has built up an awful lot of credit in the bank over the years in Fianna Fáil for making the right decision on various different things that necessarily the party wasn't going the right way on. If you look at the Eighth Amendment, for example, it was quite divisive within Fianna Fáil. But he would have made those decisions from quite a small team, quite an isolated team himself, Deirdre Galland, Pat McPartland, Sean Dorgan, maybe quite a small team at the top of the party, not necessarily consulting widely with his TDs. And just over time, that has built up and fermented a certain amount of discontent that they think that they are not being listened to. And it doesn't really matter how much credit you have in the bank, and Micheál Martin had a lot of credit in the bank. When you make a mistake as monumental as this one, your judgment is immediately called into questions, and all of the questions are pretty natural. Is he losing his touch? Has he gone on a bit too far? What are we going to see from the future of Micheál Martin? And is it time for a little bit of change? And these were fermenting, as you will have heard through that chat, obviously, with John in Dublin Castle. Not long after you had that chat, I actually got to speak to Micheál Martin one-to-one in Dublin Castle shortly after the announcement of Catherine Connolly. And myself and Ivan Yates had been discussing on the final episode of the Calling It podcast, with Ivan predicting there would be a heave either before Christmas or else this would go into well after the European presidency. And that's something I put to the Taoiseach.
Well, I don't accept what Ivan is saying at all. But look, anyway, let's leave that to one side. I mean, the bottom line is this. Everyone acted in good faith here. We had a democratic election within the party. But also, very few candidates were coming forward within the parliamentary party. No one came forward. I think Billy Kelleher came in late August, you know, after Jim Gavin had been identified by us.
But you did have Bertie Ahern and Mary Hannafin.
Well, yeah, but we did research, and we have a review committee, and we will that review committee will go through everything. But that research was done on those candidates also, you know, and that clear outcomes. And there was no sense that there was a groundswell in the parliamentary party for either.
Now, he was on with me, as you know, talking about Bertie Ahern and kind of saying, if you think, and I'm paraphrasing, if you think we'd be talking about money problems for Jim Gavin and then compare that to what we might be talking about Bertie Ahern, you know, revisiting tribunals and all the rest of it, he kind of said, whew, you know, the ridiculous idea of running Bertie Ahern. Wisdom hindsight, Bertie might have walked it.
Yeah, well, this is it. And everyone can say they might have walked it in hindsight. Bertie can say it. Sean Kelly can say it, as we're going to get into Billy Kelleher as well. And if you were able to just pick a candidate and transplant them into the last week of the campaign, I think there's a lot of people who would have fancied their chances, who maybe might have been kicking themselves about not putting themselves forward more strongly because they thought someone else would emerge. But of course, you can't do that. And that ignores the entire tenor of an election campaign. So there's a little, like, there is a little bit of that. But you just wonder, when it comes to Jim Gavin and the gripe of a lot of TDs, and some of the TDs, I have to say, are at blame for this themselves, because it was patently obvious within a week of Jim Gavin being on the ballot that he was not ready for politics at this level. The issue he had over, let's face it, a relatively minor amount of money would have been survived by any career politician. They would have apologised for it. They would have gotten over it and probably stayed in the campaign. But it was also obvious that he had, and I don't know whether the man has charisma in person or not. A lot of people say very good things about him. I don't know him in that way. But when it came to being in the media and being a political candidate, he didn't have an ounce of charisma and wasn't able to get around any of the questions. So why did Micheál Martin, incredibly serious and experienced campaigner with a great political nose, not sense that from meeting him multiple times? And why did the TDs, some of whom are now saying they want to stab Micheál Martin in the back, who met Jim Gavin, asked him all of these questions and then came out to stump for him? I mean, they have a bit of blame to sure. shoulder here as well.
I mean, I've always said about even broadcasting that the most important thing in terms of putting someone on air is you audition them, make sure they can handle it. And I would have thought that that's the process they would have put Jim Gavin through, you know, stood him up there, throw all the dirt they could at him and see how he responds before they ever nominated him or thought of nominating him. Or maybe he was such a big celeb that he wouldn't submit to that kind of treatment, but you got to do it.
Well, perhaps, because any politician who would have been put forward would have had to go through that. I'm sure Heather Humphreys was put through it, and she had her own issues when it came to the debate and taking those questions. And how she got so far into the campaign with such poor answers is another answer for the Fine Gael campaign. But like that, you talk to anybody who has done this behind the scenes, any of the political advisors or the strategists, they war game different scenarios. They war game debates before they put them in front of the likes of you to go out and do this. And if that wasn't done, and if that's something that this review that's now going on and due to report in 2 weeks shows, that raises even further questions. Maybe he was a bigger personality. Maybe he showed something behind the scenes on a one-to-one level that none of us got to see in front of the cameras. I don't know what the answer is, but he certainly couldn't deliver it on the national
stage. Some of the comments coming in, it would have been even more embarrassing for Micheál Martin if Jim Gavin had taken part in the election, in other words, had campaigned, because he was on the ballot paper and ended up in third place. In other words, campaigning up and down the country and still ending up in third. Would that have been more embarrassing for Micheál Martin? Maybe Micheál Martin could be persuaded to step aside when his term as Taoiseach ends. That would give the new leader a decent run at the next scheduled general election and present a refreshed team for both Fianna Fáil and the coalition. And a final one for the moment. Let's not forget that a lot of people voted for Catherine Connolly as the best of a bad bunch rather than they actually wanted to vote for Catherine. Doesn't really matter. We can't discern anyone's motivation from the result. You know, the result is the result. Whether they loved her or were indifferent to her and gave her the vote on that basis, it doesn't matter now.
No, it doesn't. And let's not do her down. She has achieved history in the greatest percentage vote, the greatest number of votes that were ever there as well. But it is a sort of a strange election because a lot of people felt disconnected. And you saw that in the sheer volume of spoiled votes at the weekend too. So it is a bit of a strange election. I don't think it puts any asterisks over her. There's a saying in sports that I'm quite fond of. Winning means you never have to say you're sorry. And I tend to apply that to politics as well with Catherine Connolly's campaign. Mm-hmm. On some of those other texts there, I think if Jim Gavin had campaigned and had to stay in till the end, he probably would have come third, but he wouldn't have gotten 7%, and he would have given Fianna Fáilers a reason to go out and vote and to get behind him, and actually probably would have pushed up the whole government vote in general.
But given what happened to Heather Humphreys, I mean, there's a possibility that a campaigning Jim Gavin might have got second, in which case, Heather Humphreys' transfers might have made him president. So who knows? Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could do all of the what-if scenarios, I suppose, and they could go in all sorts of directions. But I think in the end, both of them probably would have lost to Catherine Connolly.
Okay, the Taoiseach says nobody came forward from within the parliamentary party, but Jim Gavin didn't come forward. As I understand it, he didn't approach Fianna Fáil asking for a nomination, rather the other way round. Mm-hmm. And moving on to Fine Gael, this was a shocking result for Fine Gael in what was effectively a two-horse race. The Fine Gael hierarchy is not listening to its grassroots. If Fine Gael get Harris's replacement wrong, they're in danger of becoming irrelevant as a party. That's from John. So let's talk about Fine Gael's troubles.
Yeah, so the first starting point is that Simon Harris and everyone else in Fine Gael HQ has an element of cover, and that cover is she was never our first candidate. They had Mairead McGuinness. Mairead McGuinness was the favourite to win this presidential election for an awful long time, and obviously for very unfortunate reasons for her and her poor health, she was unable to go forward. And so they were left in an element scrambling. And then had Heather Humphreys versus Sean Kelly, the battle that never really was, because Heather Humphreys got more support from the parliamentary party, effectively locked out Sean Kelly. And again, and I do think there is a wider problem for Fine Gael in that they have had a series of coronations when it comes to candidates, be it Simon Harris as Taoiseach, originally Mairead McGuinness as their candidate. No one challenged her, including Sean Kelly at the time, and he made some comments at that time about the, not the uselessness, but the limitations of the role of the presidency and why he necessarily wouldn't want it, and then obviously changed his mind. And then when it came down to him versus Heather Humphreys, let's not forget, I mean, Heather Humphreys is beloved within Fine Gael and had a good, strong track record, had a lot of things, a lot of boxes that were ticked for her in terms of, you know, her religion, being from the border, having gone around the country over the last 10 years as the Minister for Rural Affairs and Sport. And she has a plaque in practically every parish, was the way it was put before this campaign started, from opening so many events. But again, it comes down to the communication piece. She wasn't able, and I know that Heather Humphreys is an incredibly warm person because I followed her ministerial career closely, working in Leinster House for the bones of a decade. That never came across in interviews, in the debates. Her greatest strength, they weren't able to weaponise. Instead, they tried to weaponise Project Fear, I suppose. Smear the bejesus, as Ivan Yates might say. And it wasn't her, it wasn't natural to her. And it just felt, I think at the end of the day, a bit inauthentic. Whereas whatever you say about Catherine Connolly, she never resiled from any view, no matter how controversial. And that felt like a more authentic person. And when people are making a decision, particularly on the presidency, of how to vote on a bit of feelings, I think that's a lot of what it came down to.
Okay, so what's happening for Simon Harris? Is he going to face any kind of confidence motion within, or is he secure?
No, I don't think he's going to face a confidence motion. I think, like I said, he has that security blanket of saying it was our second candidate and we did our best, and 29% is very, very good for Fine Gael, and he'll kind of hide behind this idea that it's ahead of their national polling. That doesn't take in the full picture, given it was effectively a two-horse race. So it is damaging for him, but I don't sense any immediate heave. Ivan Yates, again, was predicting that if there was to be some sort of a heave in Fine Gael, it might come in party HQ, and then that may be where the body gets pushed in front of a bus in terms of their General Secretary John Callan or someone else.
Sean Defoe, a News Talk political correspondent, host of the Let Me Explain podcast. Sean, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.